It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the wall, ladies and gentlemen, and we have run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We got a great show for you.
Right, it's great.
Hi, gang, this is Mean Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm now Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Welcome back to Wrestling Weekly. It is 2008, finally, and Les, I can assure you, Les Thatcher, my co-host here.
This is going. I know who I am. What's your point?
That's for the listener's benefit. This is going to be the best show so far of 2008. I promise you that.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be the only one that had you thought of that.
You don't have to ruin it for everybody.
I don't know if I ruined it for everybody. I just ruined it for you. I think everybody else is well aware that it's the first show.
Long holiday.
I've just been so excited about having my Tuesday nights to myself.
You've got to see all those shows that you've been missing.
Well, you know what? One Tree Hill comes back tonight, and I'm DVRing that. And next week, American Idol with my idol, Simon Cowell.
Yes.
I'm in mourning over Ohio State losing to LSU last night.
Yeah, that was kind of heartbreaking.
They fired up.
They
came out of the gate like gangbusters, and it just withered and died. I don't know what the deal was, but anyway.
That is sports, though.
Well, it is. Absolutely, it is sports. Yes.
We've had a long break, and yes, we have been doing work over the break. I know you haven't seen any of it yet, but we got some cool things ready for you for 2008 for Wrestling Weekly. First off, I do want to tell you tonight on the show, our featured guest is going to be none other than former NWO member Scott Norton. He's one of the listeners' favorite guests on Wrestling Weekly. He's going to be back. I think this is the third time he'll be back on the show.
None other.
There's only one Scott Norton.
Oh, okay. I got you.
he's always got really cool stories, so this is I'm looking forward to speaking with Scott tonight. Also, Adam Martin from WrestleView.com is going to join us for Hot Topic. So we got a good show to start off the year. As you know, on WrestlingWeekly.com, we have the schedule up for January, and January is shaping up to be a pretty good month. It's going to be the best month so far this year.
Yeah, okay. I know you're trying to find something to talk about here. I'm just wondering what the hell it is.
I'm definitely not. I'm trying to inform the listeners of what we've got, because they've been gone for a while. It's been a long holiday break. But I do want to tell you guys, the forums are ready. We do have new forums on Wrestling Weekly, and they are not hosted on another site. Like, you know, we've had some trouble in the past with keeping forums. Because they were hosted by other sites, and those sites either shut down or they decided to make changes that we didn't want. These are our forums. They're hosted on this site, and it's got some really cool stuff on it, some innovations that you might not see on other message boards. For instance, when you post on our new forums, you can earn what's called WW coins. WW coins. Now, of course, all the rules and, you know, how many coins you get for each post and things like that is all on the message board, so check that out. But you can use these coins to purchase things later. We're going to have sort of a little shop, and when you get these coins, you can buy certain things. And that will be coming up later in the year, so right now we really want you to gather your coins together. Also, you can gamble these coins, which is going to be really cool. We have... And this is exciting, Les, because you know on the show, Les, we've been doing the pay-per-view prediction game.
Yeah.
And it was
We're not doing that anymore.
And we're not doing that on the show anymore, but we're going to be doing that on the message board. We are going to have, I guess, a gambling leaderboard where you can bet on who's going to win each match on every pay-per-view, and you can use your WW coins that you've earned in our forums as your money, as your currency. And you can double up your coins, you can triple up your coins, depends on, you know, the match and things like that. And we're going to do that every pay-per-view. So check out the forums at www.wrestlingweekly.com. Good stuff.
Wow. Are you drinking?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
I'm excited.
I don't know what all this is about.
It's cool. I know you don't know any of this stuff that we've done.
My granddaughter wanted me to join her in an avatar instant messaging thing, which, you know, is, you know what that is?
No.
One of those where you dress, you know, you become a name and you walk around. And,
oh, okay, yeah.
You know, a virtual reality thing.
Mm-hmm. I should do it, Les.
I looked at it and I thought, what, are you ribbing me? Wrong.
It's cool stuff. No, I'm teasing. But also, I want to remind you before we get into the show, the Wrestling Radio Awards are going to be held on January 20th. And yes, there is still time to vote for your favorite show, Wrestling Weekly. Now, I have it from good authority that some of the categories are really close and your votes could put us over the top. Go to WrestlingRadioAwards.com, please, and check out the nominations and, you know, vote for your favorites. Even if it's not us, go vote anyway. WrestlingRadioAwards.com.
Okay.
Now we can get to the show, sir.
Oh, now we're going to have a show, too?
Yes.
On top of everything else?
On top of everything else, we've got a good show for everybody tonight.
Okay.
Isn't that great?
If you say so. Whatever you say, Doc, I'm just...
I'm a fountain of positivity tonight.
I've taken my pacifist... So yeah, if you say the moon is green, by God, it's green.
Excellent. I like this new Les.
Yeah,
this
well, 2008 it, won't
Les.
It won't last very long. Take
probably
my
not.
Word for it.
We'll see how it goes. We'll check again at the end of the show and see how you feel.
Yeah. Well, I haven't watched a lot of wrestling, so that's why I feel kind of positive and good.
Ah, that's it. He's taking
a
whole
break.
There
hasn't been a lot, so I haven't missed
a lot.
No,
there really hasn't. The big news over the weekend, though, American Gladiators premiered.
Yeah.
They did
with the ratings, I guess, last night were actually better than Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in its first incarnation, I watched it some. Just crazy about it. But, it's entertaining. I have DVR'd it, actually. I haven't had a chance to watch it as of yet. So.
It's kind of odd to see Hogan as the host. I don't know why. It's kind of surreal.
Thought, you know, his personality and background sort of fit. Now, I'm not making a judgment because I haven't seen it, but I kind of thought, well, you know, he should do all right on this. Now with Layla Ali, I was very impressed with her on Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Personality, and everything. How she'll do on this, I have no idea. So,
in my opinion, she was a good fit.
Yeah.
She didn't really compliment Hulk all that much, I don't think. But, she's good by herself.
Uh-huh.
I don't think they compliment each other, though.
Is that right?
Yeah. And
well,
Hulk, it's just kind of weird to see Hulk putting other people over, like,
well,
constantly.
You know what? That's why he's getting paid to do that.
Absolutely. That's the whole big thing. But they averaged a 5.9 rating in 18 to 49-year-olds last night.
Uh-huh.
I guess what they're saying is that that's the highest-rated new show on any network this year and NBC's best non-sports numbers in the time slot in more than 3 years. So that's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
And this
okay.
was the Sunday show.
That was the Sunday
this
show.
This was the Sunday
well,
show, yes.
Well, Monday night, I think, ranked third in networks, and, I'm not sure what the numbers were, but anyway, I think it was the Monday night was the best slot.
Yeah.
In that time slot for NBC. Anyway, whatever.
Moving on, the Sacramento Bee. This is a newspaper over in
yes,
California.
Yes, I know what it is. Yeah.
I listed Friday Night SmackDown as the 7th worst television show of 2007. And here's what they said about WWE's show. This is a quote. It doesn't matter that it's fake. Let's look at the messages. You use steroids, cheat, taunt, get revenge, and violence solves everything. Then... there's the massive misogynist stake. This isn't a TV show. It's a civil rights violation. That's a quote from Sacramento Bee.
Okay.
Wow.
Are you looking for a debate?
No.
Okay. I just wondered. Well, you know, really, our business does defy, you know, barriers and so forth, and create some of its own. Well, you know, we've had this conversation about women before, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, women are sluts in professional wrestling, devious, backstabbing sluts, right?
This is true, unfortunately.
You're right. It is unfortunate that everyone's portrayed that way. But, you know, I don't know.
Whatever happened to the whole story that WWE was going to make the women, you know, more glamorous and classy? And what did we get last night on Raw? Lingerie pillow fight.
That's what you got. I didn't get anything.
I mean, we as in general.
Yeah, okay.
I did not
watch Raw last night.
I don't know what happened to that whole idea. Oh, yeah, you didn't miss much, except
I heard
event.
That, too.
The main event was pretty good.
Well, you know what, in regard to that, and I didn't see it, Umaga and Jeff Hardy. Jeff is learning to work, and now when I say that, and all the Jeff Hardy fans, especially the females that might be listening, are getting ready to shoot me or have me castrated or whatever it is, I mean that sincerely. I mean, he was a bump machine for a long time.
Right.
Matt was always the better worker, and Matt matured more as a worker quicker.
Yes.
Okay. Jeff is starting to mature as a worker. It's not as critical that he take bump after bump after bump. He's actually learning to work.
Yeah, he's using the bump sparingly now.
The art of work. Yes, well, that will make his body last longer as well, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, he's you know, so he's maturing as a performer, and that's good, you know.
I mean,
that's I'm up with that. Let me hit a couple things here real quick since we haven't been on for like a lifetime.
Sure.
Okay. This weekend I'm in Natchez, Mississippi, for Mississippi Combat Alliance. I'm doing a weekend seminar there. If anybody's interested, you can contact Justin Thornton at 601-653-4657, or at www.mscombat.com. And we're doing a whole weekend seminar. They have a show on Friday night. We're doing a Q&A Friday night after the show, and then training all day Saturday and Sunday. Also, I want to mention John Saxon, who won the Horizon Award at the Mobile Wrestlers Reunion last year, which is for the top independent wrestler,
mm-hmm.
As voted by other independent wrestlers. You know, he's actually picking me up at the airport, and he and his lovely lady Danielle will be joining us for that weekend. And John is like the seniors. When I say senior citizen, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way or mean that he's old, but just, you know, a veteran,
mm-hmm.
Of the independents down along the Gulf Coast. And so anyway, we're looking for a good time this weekend. It'll be Friday night and all day Saturday and Sunday. And then I've also got a March 14th, 15th, and 16th in Richmond, Virginia, for Ground Zero Wrestling at the Ground Zero Training School, www.gxwwrestling.com. Call Dave McLeod at 804-356-0583. And I'm going to get a chance to see one of my old friends up there, Dickie Steinborn, who lives in Richmond. Just talked to him the other day.
Very cool.
Who is a tremendous performer, and I haven't seen him in years, so we're going to get a chance to hook up in March up there. A couple of old acquaintances, friends, passed away just in the last couple weeks. Randy Barber, who has wrestled around the Southeast for like a long time. A lot of people probably never heard of him. Randy was quite a journeyman and all-around good guy. I used to see him at the Gulf Coast Reunion every year. And he just passed away. And Armand Hussein, who was based in Dallas, just passed away. Armand worked mostly the western side of the country, Southwest, the West Coast, and both these guys. I worked with Armand in the Phoenix territory back in the '60s, and like I say, Randy in several different places around the Southeast. But anyway, my sympathies to their families.
Yeah.
And that was what I wanted to touch base on anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, this weekend, I wrestled in Natchez, Mississippi back in the 60s, 66, 67, when I worked for the Lee Fields promotion out of Baton Rouge.
So it's a homecoming of sorts.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, I'm kind of doing it's back to the future sort of thing, I guess. You know, I'm sure it's changed a little bit since 1967.
Oh, but, yeah, I'm sure. It's a great opportunity to be able to learn from you, in my opinion. I'm sure everybody else would feel the same if they checked it out.
I hope. You know, I want to say it was quite for anybody that wants to be an independent wrestler, that is an independent wrestler, that even considers it. And I don't have the link to give you, but it's on Samoa Joe's MySpace page, a blog that he posted on the 5th, which is past Saturday, and it talks about people asking him about what to do to be a professional wrestler, about being a professional wrestler. He's very blunt to the point.
It's awesome. I have it sitting here right in front of me. You want to go over it a little bit?
I mean, if you want to, yes. I was quite honored that he mentioned his recommendations for trainers, and he recommended 4 in the entire United States and happened to mention me. Now, I did not train Joe, although he and I have discussed the business at length on several occasions, and but I'm very honored and proud that he would, you know, that he would recommend me.
Yeah, that was really cool. This is at myspace.com/joeism, J-O-E-I-S-M. He says, basically, these are his tips for starting out. Now, I'm just going to summarize because these are long.
Yeah.
But tip number one is when you begin your wrestling training, assume nothing. I don't care how many documentaries you watched, how many subscriptions to newsletters you have, how many shoot interviews you've seen, you know nothing. Show up in shape, do some cardio. Basically, and then he starts to get into certain training regimens that you can get into, things like that. But basically, yes.
Cardio conditioning, yes.
But basically, be a blank slate when you get in there.
Right.
Tip number two, find a reputable trainer with actual world money-making experience. Many people will take the easy, cheapest route to start wrestling. But in reality, you get what you pay for. He goes on to say, newsflash, you are never done training. If you think that there is nothing left to learn, you most likely suck. And you'll never amount to anything.
And what did he say? I don't want you in my industry or something like that.
Yes. He says,
and let me say this. This is from a guy, a very respected performer of this generation.
Yeah, he's 20.
This is not one of my generation where somebody can cop out and say, hey, he's bitter or he's mad or he, you know, jealous or whatever.
Right,
he's right. You never stop learning. And God knows how many guys that I know have, I shouldn't say I know, but I've heard that before. Well, so-and-so, you know, I invited so-and-so to come to the training camp and seminar, but he said, he's been wrestling 3 years
mm-hmm.
and probably at least once a month for those 3 years. I mean, you know, so
right.
he knows it all. But, yeah, Joe is very, very spot on when he makes that observation.
And he's only about 28 years old, 27?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. As for schools he'd recommend, he says Booker T's, PWA in Texas, Team 3D School in Florida, Lance Storm School in Canada, and my friend Les Thatcher. So that was pretty cool. He moves on to tip three. Basically says to listen, ask questions only when you're unsure. It's amazing how much more you can learn when you close your mouth and you listen. Other times, you'll be in a drill waiting your turn. Don't talk. Take that opportunity to talk to the guy next to you. Watch what the guy is doing that's doing the drill. When he makes a mistake, learn from his mistake. Sort of, you know, things like that, basically.
I can't tell you how often that happens, mm-hmm. that you've got a group of guys and you will lay out a particular series of spots and designate two guys to do this or a particular – and it'll come down to the next pairing, and then somebody will say, could you tell that to me again?
Right.
And honestly, and it's not just me, it's every trainer thinks, wait a damn minute here. First of all, you should have heard me explain it. Second of all, you have watched three other pairings do it, and you still don't know what you're supposed to do?
Right.
You know where the door is?
Right.
My suggestion is use it. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that's, yeah, I don't care who the trainer is, whether it's me or 100 other people, it's disrespectful to the trainer.
And it's a waste of time.
Yes, and it wastes everyone. It's not just the trainer's time. It's everyone else that's there actually wanting to learn's time that's wasted as well.
He goes on with tips for current wrestlers. Tip number one, if you want to advance in your career, you have to find opportunity. It doesn't find you. He says, I get so many emails from wrestlers asking me how they can get exposure, but at the same time, they tell me that they all have these things that make it impossible for them to travel and find work and exposure they need. Well, guess what? You lose. With any success comes greater sacrifice. You need to ask yourself what you're willing to trade for success in wrestling. I think that's a good point.
You have to give something. You pay your dues. Call it whatever you like. But you have, if you want, I moved 1,000 miles away from my home to Boston, Massachusetts to learn the business.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you over the years the letters or the emails, the correspondence or the phone calls that I have received from people saying, God, you know, this is the only thing I've ever wanted to do. I am so passionate about it. Do you know that there's a school about 3 blocks from my house?
Right.
I'd love to train, but I'm busy watching television or playing games. You know what I'm saying? I mean, mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're playing with yourself is what you're actually doing.
Right.
You know, emotionally, physically, mentally, whatever. But you really don't have a passion for anything. You're not willing to sacrifice anything. You mean I have to actually pay you to train me? Oh, well, gee, then, gosh.
Right.
You know, anybody does it for free? Yes, and they're idiots too.
Right. And Joe goes on in this about the sacrifice, and he says, at the same time, sacrifice does not guarantee success. Wrestling owes you nothing, and it'll remind you of that often, and I think that's a good good tip.
Yeah, you know what? Do I think I've given more than I've gotten back? Yes. Again, maybe I'm stupid for not being upset by that or bitter, but yeah. I think I've given a lot more to the business than the business has given back to me. But then, that was my passion, and that was my decision. It wasn't like someone held a gun to my head and said, hey, you have to do this.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Tip two, you do not need an agent on the indies. Many times the schools you train at will try to coerce you into having them become your agent and take a booking fee for booking you out. They will also try and tell you where you can and cannot wrestle. Mm.
Now, I'm going to say something. When I first started my school, and I was going on the strength of someone else, of a contractual thing that someone else, another school, and there weren't that many, believe me, back in 1993 or 94, right,
mm-hmm.
when I started to set up my place and it finally opened in 95. But anyway, one of the things was that now you got to realize this is back when there were a lot of, several promotions. It wasn't like there were just one.
Right.
But one of the deals was that if I were to get you a contract with someone, then I would get a percentage, for the next year or 2 years, whatever it was. That has changed, obviously. But here's the other thing. Every trainer will tell you he's going to help you get to the top. Every trainer can't possibly do that because every person that calls himself a trainer doesn't have contact. Or a reputation themselves that can open a door for you.
Right.
Harley Race can pick up the phone and call somebody and say, look, I've got this kid that I think you might want to take a look at, and whoever he's called is pretty much going to go to the bank with that, and think,
right.
Well, maybe I need to take a look at this kid. Joe Schmo, who has been in the business 15 minutes and rented a garage and stuck a ring and charged you $1.98 to train you, can write letters and make that phone call. Well, first of all, he probably won't have the phone number.
This is true.
But he can do whatever, and he's still not going to get you looked at,
Right.
Joe also, what Joe mentions about demo tapes and stuff,
mm-hmm.
is very spot on, too.
Here's what he goes into about that. First of all, he says that sending unsolicited tapes, in his opinion, doesn't work. He said it doesn't work for a few reasons. Everyone who watches the tapes knows that a highlight package can make anyone look good, no matter how bad they are. Most unsolicited tapes...
Let me talk about that just briefly.
Okay.
What he's saying is, and I've seen my share and then some, is that you pick out the four moves that you do and can do well, and you try to sync them to music, and you send me a five-minute over and over of you doing those three moves. And since I have been around more than 15 minutes, I realize that you're just showing me. And also I'm wondering, is that all you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, yeah, I know what a music video is, and I understand a highlight tape.
Right.
You know.
It says most of the unsolicited tapes find their way into the cardboard box in a corner because people really don't have time to watch them. If a Terry Taylor, a Johnny Ace, or a Gabe Sapolsky does ask you for a tape, then I recommend this format. A short, out-of-character intro, give your name, true height and weight, work name, city, state, blah, blah, blah. After your intro, do your two best matches. When picking these matches, take into account crowd, interaction, and reaction. A tape of you wrestling in front of a hot crowd is better than you having a really good match in front of five people. Wrestling scouts have seen it all. Nothing you do technically is going to impress them. They're looking for someone who they feel the fans will take to and will hopefully sell tickets. So I thought that was pretty cool. I never really thought of that either.
Yeah, well, you know, and the out-of-character thing is to introduce. Yeah. You know, and I've gotten tapes, and, I'm going to use your, you know, hey, I'm Doc Young, and here's my tape.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is you don't send me a picture, you don't tell me what I don't know what Doc Young looks like, and then you send me a six-man tag match.
Right.
And I'm supposed to know who Doc Young is, right?
Right.
So I don't know what I'm watching.
Now,
you know,
I've
had guys send me, I can think of one, I couldn't think of the kid's name, but it was, I remember the situation a number of years ago, he sent me like the clips from three or four matches, and in every one it was outside the ring, hitting somebody with the garbage cans, up in the bleachers, taking goofy bumps, mm-hmm. hitting each other with chairs, kendo sticks,
yeah.
You know, blood. And so then the kid called in and, well, did you get my tape? And I said, yeah. And, I said, do you know how to work? What do you mean? I said, do you know how to work? I didn't see you work. You know, I saw you hitting people with kendo sticks and this and that and the other thing. And, you know, but I did not see you have a match.
Right.
You know, and I think that's the point, too, is let them see your versatility if you have it. You know, and of course, if you don't, you can't. But I mean, let them see you work holes. Let them see you sell. Let them see you make a comeback. Let them
right.
see you see your emotions, see your agility, your athleticism, your timing, because that's what's going to impress them.
Right.
Know?
And this is the thing. I had some friends who were independent wrestlers, and they wanted to make some demo tapes, and they wanted me to do them because I know how to edit. So I went to a few people. That I know in the business, and I said, you know, if you could take the time, please give me some tips on how to put together these videos for them. And basically, these were the things that they told me. Is basically what Samoa Joe says in his MySpace. But another big one in that everybody said is no music videos, and Joe also says this on his MySpace, no music videos.
Yes.
Basically,
well, you know, I mean, again, The people that you're that are going to watch these are smart enough to know what their companies do
right.
To edit out the crap.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, that's not possible. That's just not showing anything. But making basically a silk purse out of a sow's ear,
right.
as the old saying goes. So yes, so they understand the art of editing. So to show them that you know somebody that also knows that art is not, you know, they're not looking for a tape editor. They're looking for wrestlers.
Right. And to do the issue where, okay, maybe the booker doesn't know which guy this is, I just put a little insert when the guy was walking to the ring and it was a little bubble following him and it said, hey, look, it's me. So that's how I got around that. But that's neither here nor there.
I'm not sure that that... Well, if you're sending it to Vince Russo, that probably makes sense.
I think it did the job. I mean, it just...
Yes, if it's comedy, yes, send it to Vince.
Just to say who that guy is.
Orgasm over it, yeah.
Just
no,
for
I think that, you know, what you should do is put some graphics underneath, you know, or on a table of contents that, you know, before the match, you know, to say that the subject you want to see, you know, whoever that happens to be, Joe Blow is with the beard in the blue trunks and is the baby face in this match or the heel, you know, or what. I mean,
some
way of describing, you know, so it's simple, simplified. And that's the other thing, too. Don't send me a battle royal or a six-man tag.
Right.
If you're trying to sell me a tag team, obviously send me a tag team match. But if you're trying to sell me an individual, then that's what that's what they're looking to see.
Yeah, do a one-on-one match.
Yeah.
Moving on with the news. According to a report by the Wrestling Observer, Ring of Honor booker Gabe Sapolsky was in a car wreck on Friday. But he's doing fine right now.
I guess it really tore the car up, but Gabe got a few stitches and came out of it.
Basically, his car went out of control, was hit by a truck. The car is completely totaled, and he got about 18 stitches in his face.
He was blessed to get out of it. That's great.
I'm glad to hear that he's okay. But when you're wrestling all the time, you're on the road all the time, and the chances of having an accident are just really high, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, when we were living on the road 24/7,
right,
at times, I was amazed that more guys didn't, you know, end up in a ditch. Or
I kind of still am today. You don't see, I mean, you don't really hear a lot about car accidents, but these guys are on the road constantly.
Yeah.
So we're happy that Gabe's okay, though.
And, of course, there was a pay-per-view this past Sunday.
Yes, the Royal Rumble.
Not the Royal Rumble.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was the Royal Rumble.
Last Sunday?
Yeah.
I thought TNA had a pay-per-view.
Oh, the TNA. Oh, Royal Rumble.
Rumble is having qualifying matches building up to the Royal Rumble.
Oh,
I'm sorry. No, that's right. I don't know what universe. This is 2008, Doc, and this is the best show of the year so far.
Holy smoke! This is the best show of the year so far. I can only say that.
We're going to start drug testing my co-host here.
He's on
hallucinogenics, or I don't know if he just dropped it.
Did not see the
TNA pay-per-view, or what exactly he's talking about.
Did you see the pay-per-view?
Christian and Angle, had a good match, except it had the intervention at the end, which everyone expected. Styles running in. Let's see, some of the important things that I found out on that show was that ODB defecates, which I thought was important. Karen Angle goes to the men's restroom. Styles is excited about ODB defecating.
Yeah, things you need to know.
Found out in the TV show the week before that Styles wets himself, or did wet himself. It's just, I don't even, the Christmas show and all the other, it makes my head hurt.
Yeah.
It's they're selling a comedy hour and then trying to interject some serious notes in there. They forgot that James Storm broke a beer bottle over Eric Young's head and, could have blinded him or hurt him. And then they're having a drinking, you know, like it's a frat party USA or Animal House or, Gail Kim and Kong had a good match, I thought, for what they're doing. But the lack of sense to the angles, if there are angles, and I don't mean Karen and Kurt, I mean the storylines for you young people, angles is what we used to call them, just make my head hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know if you read it, and I don't remember where I read it, but while we were not, you know, while we were in hiatus, someone had a listing of what the buy rates were for the past, dozen or so TNA pay-per-views.
Yes.
And it was scary. I mean, I knew they weren't, you know, magnificent. I knew they didn't come anyplace close to WWE's. But now I'm going to say, you know, this is not about, there's nothing personal to me, and I want to make that clear. But if I were an investor in this company, if I were an owner of this company, if I were in power of this company in any way, shape, or form, and I saw those numbers and saw what was going on, and if I understood the business, which might help as well, and I don't mean the television business, I mean the wrestling business, then the direction that this company is going would change, and change immediately and drastically, because those numbers are god-awful. I mean, there is no possible way that I can see them coming out on that. And, you know, what they're doing now, this conversation I had with somebody a while back, they're traveling more this year. They're doing more shows outside of Orlando, which I think is necessary to get away from that, and I say stale crowd. I mean, I'm sure these are nice, but, you know, the crowd there is becoming part of the show, which is not a good thing. But I don't see... You know, in their tour in Canada now, they had one house that drew a few thousand, I forget what the numbers were exactly, several thousand people, probably one of the biggest shows they've ever done anyplace. But then the other houses were like 800 people or, a thousand, you know. And I can't believe with the cost of airlines and hotels and paying talent that they're coming out on this, you know. And when I say this, I'm saying this as a concerned person, in as much as I don't want to see this. I don't want to see any company go under. At this point, there's so few companies where people can actually make a living in this business,
right,
that there need to be more companies opposed to less. You know, but I won't say in awe, I'm stunned the direction the company's going. It becomes more cartoonish all the time, and I say this because there's a lot of good talent there. It's just not. We were talking about Joe, and I think they've really killed the momentum that he had when he came in over a year ago.
Yeah, he could have been huge. I mean,
And it's the things they're doing are just, you know, make no sense, and everybody. And the other thing is, every tag team partner is mad at his other tag team partner. Every husband is mad at his wife, or his wife's mad at his husband, or the valet's mad at the guy she manages. Or, I mean, it's just it's mind numbing.
Yeah,
you know.
I think the surprise would be if two tag team partners got along.
Well, the surprise would be if they did anything that actually made some kind of sense. Well, you know, it went back to the whole thing is now Eric Young's house is right next to Orlando Studio, just like Kurt Angle's is. But the funny thing is we both know, or everybody that's got half a brain knows that Kurt Angle lives in Pittsburgh and Eric Young lives in Canada.
Right.
You know, but their homes, somebody picked their houses up, moved them next to the Orlando Studios, which I think is a clever thing to do. Again, you know, it's just there's no possible way to suspend your disbelief in so much of this, such a high percentage of this, and it's, you know, it's frustrating. And my boy Shark Boy keeps coming out with more bandages and stuff. And nobody explains that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is he have some kind of bone disease where he's becoming frail? And, well, this is a legitimate question because every week he comes out with something else wrapped or bandaged. And yet no one has told me why.
Right.
You know?
I mean, if it's going to happen, at least use it.
Is he going to end up being the mummy before the end of 2008?
I hope not.
He's not far away from being, you know, I don't know. But again, you know, that's the whole thing, too. If you can't sit, you can't expect your audience to sit home and ask these questions of themselves. You have to make them understand what's going on.
Yeah, that's true.
I know
of
it
TNA,
is.
And
I'm aware it's true.
And continue on TNA, and I don't want to get on a big,
huge. Oh well, somebody said they're picking on. You know what? Anybody that has a one iota of intelligence about the professional wrestling business will question what is going on in TNA. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've never seen anything other than TNA, maybe you have no questions. But anyway, That's as it is.
This is true, but we're going to take a break right now. We've got Adam Martin from WrestleView.com coming on to the program, and we're going to talk a little bit more about TNA with him, about another topic in TNA, actually. So let's do this. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with Adam after this. Don't forget our featured guest tonight, Scott Norton, is coming on the program in a little bit. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly. We'll be right back.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
He's been known to walk the walk. That's right, get out your pimpin' canes, your birth control pills, because it is time for the WR Show on Wrestling-Radio.com. He talks the talk. If you're a girl between the ages of 19 and 25 and you think you've lost your virginity, here's a bit of advice. Maybe you should go look for it. Stating the facts like they are and calling it like he sees it. These are my 15 minutes of fame. Get out of the spotlight and watch true greatness shine on Wrestling-Radio.com. Join the legend Jonathan Clark as he takes your phone calls, runs down the latest professional wrestling news, reads your emails, and joins you in the forums and reviews your feedback on one of the most controversial wrestling radio programs of all time, the WR Show. Heard every single Wednesday night from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern on the Internet's fastest-growing Internet radio promotional website, Wrestling-Radio.com. Who knows what Jonathan Clark will say and do and just how far he will go. He's in charge of all the action every single Wednesday night on the WR Show. Make sure you join Wrestling-Radio.com for one of the most groundbreaking and revolutionized websites and shows in the Internet today. Wrestling-Radio.com presents the WR Show every Wednesday from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you join us.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
All aboard!
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Design.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
MadManiacs.com.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you here at Wrestling Weekly, guys. On the line right now, he is the webmaster of WrestleView.com and one of Wrestling Weekly's Hot Topic correspondents. Adam Martin is with us. And Adam, I want to thank you for being on the show first off. How was your holiday?
It was really good. I actually still have another 2 weeks before I return to class, which I thought I'd return next week, but I don't go back to the 22nd. So I've been off pretty much since mid-December, I would say. I've had a really, really long break, so I'm kind of ready to go back. I know that's kind of weird to say for some people. They don't want to go back to school, but I'm kind of ready to get back in there and stop being bored. But I did want to thank Les really briefly here, because I did a little paper for one of my courses about professional wrestling, and I was able to quote Les, and I got a big fat A on that one, so thank you, Les Thatcher.
All right. Well, listen, you know what? When you're in the area, I will find a nice restaurant, and you can reward me with a little.
Sounds good to me. That'd be my pleasure, because they loved that I was able to quote you and some other people, so that really helped the paper. So
Les likes he likes steak and lobster.
Okay. You know what? Only lobster salad. If I have to look at that ugly sucker before I eat him, I'm not interested in eating him. And we found out in the break that Adam is a political junkie. So
I'm watching the precinct numbers in for New Hampshire, because we just had the Iowa caucus here. I live in Cedar Rapids, and we had the caucuses last week, and so that was my first ever caucus and took part in that. And I have no problem being brutally honest and saying I'm a Barack Obama supporter, and he thankfully won Iowa, and that was really cool to be a part of, although he's kind of behind Hillary Clinton right now in New Hampshire, which wasn't supposed to happen. So
wow.
She was supposed to come in third or fourth tonight, but she's in the lead as of about 20% being precinct in right now.
Well, it's going to be a long night, especially there. So
yeah, it'll be a long night, so I'll be entertained.
Let's get on to the hot topic for tonight, and I guess basically tell us about TNA's new drug policy and what's known about it right now at this time.
Well, at the Final Resolution pay-per-view, which I know you thought was the Royal Rumble, Doc, I can't believe
Final
it.
Resolution. I could not remember the
name. I was sitting there, I was like, Doc Young, you have a wrestling
Adam
radio show.
Your chops, too, here. All right. Adam.
It's been a long vacation. What can I say?
It's been a long vacation. Honestly, the names of their pay-per-views can be, it's like when they had Final Resolution and New Year's Revolution, and I remember that was always a big, tricky thing. They're not doing New Year's Revolution this year, thankfully. They're cutting down on pay-per-views, but that was always a confusing thing. But at the pay-per-view on Sunday in Orlando, they had a meeting backstage with all the talent, and Terry Taylor, who's in charge of talent relations in TNA, he basically made it clear that starting at the TV tapings on January 21st and 22nd, they're going to start instituting drug tests. And as of right now, they're just believed to be baseline tests where they're just going to test everybody and kind of see what comes up and see who has, I don't really call it a problem, but who came up in the testing, what kind of things they're going to be looking for. And this was supposed to start, I was hearing back in October after Bound for Glory, it was supposed to begin that time, and they kind of didn't do anything about it. And then when Congress started contacting the WWE, when they started contacting TNA and Ring of Honor and the NWA, that's when I think, things started to get rolling. But, from a public relations standpoint, I wrote about it in that paper that I used Les with. I used some quotes from Les about that in kind of like how, guys would go on radio shows. So, someone like Chris Sabin, for instance, he went on Wrestling Observer Live like in December, and somebody asked him about the drug testing policy, and he goes, "We're not supposed to talk about that." Mm. And that was kind of alarming to me. It was alarming to a lot of other people in that, they should be doing something, and the fact that they're not doing anything is not a good thing. So I was happy to hear that they are going to start doing it in late January, and that Terry Taylor was on it, but still, though, at this point, we just know they're doing tests, but we don't really know what the real details are, which is another kind of question that we're left with.
Don't you think, too, Adam, that if this is a smokescreen, that is even a more stupid move at this point in time, because with there's so much focus on anabolics in particular, but if the government were to knock on their door 6 months down the road and say, well, could we see the records from your drug test if they're actually not doing anything serious? then they've actually dug a deeper hole than they could be in already. So I think it's almost, you know, they've got to do it properly if they're going to do it at all. Or the best thing would be to say, not to have made a public statement about it, you know, and yeah, to let it alone. At least then, if the government knocked on their door 6 months, they say, well, you know, we are in the process of setting something up at least, and there wouldn't be anything to come back and bite them in the rear end.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with TNA is that they're not a publicly traded company like the WWE is. So when the WWE makes a move like that, they usually put out a press release that gets picked up. And TNA will probably never be as big as the WWE ever. And they're not in that position where they have to put out. And, you know, unless you're kind of in a position where you can find stuff out like this. I had actually called a lot of wrestlers at the pay-per-view on Sunday, and they were more than willing to tell me about it. But if there's somebody not letting other people know, that would have gone under the radar. And I think that they, for what they were doing before, I mean, just pretty much doing absolutely. I think that was the biggest issue when Congress asked them, "What are you guys doing?" They had that simple answer where one of the things I found out from one of the congressmen, Cliff Stearns, one of the things he said when he talked to TNA was that they really went off and did that whole independent contractor speech. And that really, really rubbed in the wrong way when he knew that the WWE had a drug testing policy. Well, there's a lot of flaws with it, but at least they have a policy, they have records, stuff like that. TNA didn't have anything, and even though that there's a few wrestlers, who I'm not going to name, obviously, but there's, I mean, if you've been following the company since the start, you know the wrestlers that have had, you know, issues that they've dealt with, and they've done stuff like that, but they always would seem to go back to that independent contractors line, which always really bugged me. And now they're doing the drug testing, but like you said, Les, though, it's kind of a move in a good direction, but it's kind of not. And if they're not starting this till now, I mean, the hearings were supposed to happen in December. That didn't happen. We saw it get more focused on baseball than professional wrestling. But eventually, these Congress hearings are going to happen. And if they only have, a couple weeks worth of testing, that's not going to make them look very good in the long run.
No, it's not. You know, and the thing they. And of course, they obviously from their a lot of the things they do, they don't learn from history. In part their booking, and I won't even get into that. But with this, I think, and I don't know what else to call them, but a spin doctor is needs to sit down with the athletes and verse them on how to deal with interviews in the public, because at some point they're going to have to. You know,
right.
I mean, and I think that was the thing with Kennedy and Finley and those guys that had no idea what they were talking about with WWE. It made them come across look bad. It made the company look bad.
Yeah, I mean, the Mr. Kennedy thing really blew up in his face. And I know he's had some exchanges with Billy Graham going back and forth, and Billy Graham didn't take too kindly to some of the things that Kennedy said about him. And that whole Rey Mysterio, you know, going on Fox News talking about it, not knowing a whole lot about the drug testing, and you know, the I think the CNN special really shined a light on it in that they really examined what the WWE does and how there are some flaws with it. But like you said, Lex, though, from a public relations standpoint, Doc's very familiar with who runs PR in TNA. Mm-hmm. We know who the guy is, and he's kind of one of those people where he's going to say something, but unless he has to, he won't. And unfortunately for them, there's just not a huge demand for TNA wrestling in the wrestling world. So I think that they're using that as a way to say, you know, we're not as popular as the WWE, so we don't always have to be right up there and give the answers. They're not going to be under as much pressure as the WWE is, because they're just a whole other entity compared to TNA wrestling.
Yeah, but, you know, I think they, you know, but the sad thing is they should be prepared in the event that it does come up, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I know what you're saying about the public relations guy and his lack of whatever. But, yeah, you know.
No
comment from Doc. But anyway, yeah, I just, you know, you've got to have some, you know, the thing of it is, you've got to be able to say something. Well, baseball, here again, forget wrestling for the moment, but watching what's going on here, the thing with Clemens, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
And you hear the sports reporters, the writers saying, do you believe him or don't you? Well, I don't know, you know, because you've heard other guys cry wolf, you know, and then his running mate admits that their trainer, you know, popped him in the rear end with a needle.
Right.
And then the question comes up, well, why would the trainer lie about Clemens and not lie about the other guy, and on and on and on. So, you know, the climate is cloudy at best, regardless of it's baseball, football, whatever. And so, you know, I was reading in our Sunday paper that now they're questioning if how steroided up are the bulls in bull riding in the damn rodeos. Right? I mean, yeah, to make them a little crazier and so forth. So, I mean, the question's out there, and here's the problem, or I say the problem, one of the problems, is the general public has no perception of anabolics at all, except what they read or what they're told. Well, I watch in 60 Minutes. Roger Clemens said, well, you know, I should have a third ear coming out of my forehead, and I should be pulling trains or something with my teeth. No, Roger, you don't have to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger just because you're taking the sauce. You know, but that's the other perception, too. You know, if you don't look like Mr. Universe, then you obviously aren't on drugs. That's crap, too, you know, because they're used for various things, and everyone that takes them isn't 5% body fat, you know, and ripped to the bone. So even Clemens wasn't aware of, you know, what they did or didn't do, for that matter. So, and of course, again, the general public sitting at home only knows what they're hearing on the news or reading in a newspaper. So, I think a smart move would be for them to find somebody that honestly understands, what they're talking about and verse the not only the athletes but the management as well, because they're going to have to deal with it at some point in time.
Now, you were talking about, Les, in the last segment about TNA's numbers and how they're pretty much not making any money.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to afford to have thorough testing and really be able to do this?
Testing is, I won't say it's gotten cheaper, but I'm going to guess at this point. I know back when I was doing competitive bodybuilding, and this was back, you know, in the late 80s up to the early 90s. I think a test then, and again, there's been changes and more sophistication and so forth, but I think a test then per human was like a couple $100 or 250 maybe per person,
mm-hmm,
to do it, you know. Obviously, there's going to be a chunk of change out of their pocket because you have to test everybody initially.
Right.
But I, you know, as Adam, and if you're not aware what he says when he says baseline, that means to establish,
right,
your levels of whatever, you know.
Starting.
In other words, a guideline for, mm-hmm, you know, the next time they test you to see, you know, where you're at. But anyway, so as they randomly test, then obviously, you know, the cost won't be as high,
yep.
But it is. But then when you're talking about a company that has, and I'm just grabbing the last numbers I heard, that was lost 20 million, you know, spent 20 million bucks, and had done the show for it, then a couple $100 is really just a drop in the ocean.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and I know you're alluding to the pay-per-view numbers earlier in the show, and. You know, 50,000 buys for TNA is profitable, and there's been maybe two or three shows that have done over 50,000, if that's even being generous.
Yeah.
And all their other shows are kind of in that 20 to 25, 30 to 35, 36, 37 range, and they go up and down as the months go by. And, you know, to a degree, the company has started to turn a corner in that they are profiting in different aspects, and they were able to do that because of Spike Television.
Right.
But it's not at the point where you're going to be bringing in millions and millions and millions of dollars every quarter if you were to measure it the way the WWE does with their, you know, they do those conference calls where they kind of, you know, look at the quarters. And, I mean, the numbers they do are just, I mean, insane compared to what some other companies do in other aspects of the world in sports and entertainment. But it's just, my biggest issue is that when you really take a look at the people who run the WWE's drug testing stuff, these are people who test people in the Olympics, test people in the NFL. You know, it's gotten pretty high tech, and I think that, you know, and I think Les made a good point in that some of these baseline tests, they won't cost a lot of money, but if you want to be testing for other things that could go under the radar, I'd be interested to maybe do some research and kind of find out how much money it costs to look for certain, you know, things that they're going to want to be looking for. And it's just, my problem is I know what the WWE tests for. I understand the flaws in it. I have no clue what TNA is going to be testing for and what flaws or that's my biggest question. And that, yeah, they're doing this, but my only feeling is that they're doing this because they're getting pressure from Congress. And if they weren't getting pressure from Congress, they'd have no interest in doing it whatsoever, which is a scary thing.
Well, yeah, I agree. You know, I think the other thing is, you know, you're right. It's when I was mentioning a cost to test, with bodybuilding competitions, that obviously all they were testing for was anabolics.
Yeah.
You know, or diuretics. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, they could care less if you were on Valium, you know, or if you were smoking grass or whatever, because they didn't test for that. Now, there again, I'm not aware if you're testing across the board for everything known to man, you know, to find out, well, okay, Adam doesn't have a script for this because you just tested positive for, you know, for Tylenol, or, you know, you where I'm coming from. So,
right.
Yeah, it may be more costly to run that battery of tests than it is just to test for one specific thing.
Well, we're going to have to see how that turns out. It's going to be interesting. Adam, we're running out of time. I want to thank you for being on tonight, man.
Thank you for having me on the show, guys. It's good to talk to you once again in 2008, and good luck with all the other shows coming up.
Hey, Adam, if you finally run for president, you know, if I'm alive at that point in time, let me know what your platform and I'll vote for you, I promise.
Thank you very much. That's my minor is political science, but the more I find out about it, I don't know, it kind of scares me away, but we'll see how it goes.
You'll have two votes, Adam.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Check out Adam's website, WrestleView.com, guys. Adam, we'll see you again in a few weeks.
All right. I'll see you later, guys.
Always a pleasure, Adam.
Thanks, Les. Thanks, Doc.
It's Adam Martin from WrestleView.com here in Wrestling Weekly. Back into the news, Les.
Back into the news, Doc.
And I guess this kind of ties in because this was kind of the start of the whole thing, but a verbal agreement has finally been reached in the fight over the estate of Chris Benoit. Benoit's father said the agreement calls for the proceeds from Chris Benoit's estate to pretty much be evenly split between his son's two children from a previous marriage, a 15-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl, and the family of his slain wife, Nancy. Michael, who's been acting on the children's behalf, had declined to provide the exact terms. He said the attorney's fees and the expenses ran roughly $500,000 to $600,000.
You know, that's what jumped off the page at me.
That's a lot of money.
Was, yes, that, are you ribbing me? Mm-hmm. I want to be a lawyer. You know, you know, let me say this about that. You know, it's no secret that Nancy and Chris were very, 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 very good friends of mine. I love them both dearly. And, of course, Daniel, you know, was a great kid. But I'm just glad, you know, it's going to be over.
Yeah.
And that they can all, I hope, hopefully rest and you know, let this...
It's over with the family now. Now, there's still WWE to be concerned, if they want to go in that direction.
Well, you know, but the sad thing is that $500,000 didn't go to somebody, you know?
Right.
You know, what am I trying to say here? That, you know, to the families.
Yeah.
You know, to allow them to, you know, utilize it, opposed to
the attorneys.
Yes.
And,
yes. Thank you,
know,
very much.
In every lawsuit, there's two winners and a loser. There's the person who won the case, and there's the loser of the case. But the attorneys will always win in the end.
Yeah,
that's,
well, you know, but like I say, I'm glad it's over. I am tremendously glad it's over, and you know, and that Nancy and Chris and Daniel hopefully will be able to rest in peace.
Yes. Lex Luger, according to reports, is still currently at a spinal rehab center at Marietta, Georgia. He's still paralyzed in both arms and both legs. But has begun to get back feeling in all four extremities, which is good. The official diagnosis was that he had recently suffered a spinal stroke, which I thought was kind of odd that they didn't catch that before. It took
a
while. To...
They had talked about a stroke at one point, but I don't know that anyone ever came up with the fact that it was, you know, what it was, why it was, if you know, and then they kind of discounted that too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You know, bless his heart. That's
being able to get the feeling back is really good. That's really good news.
Huh?
Being able to get the feeling back, at least, good news.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Sure.
Lex may be on his way to recovery, and I hope he is.
Yeah, you know, because in truth, to the best of my knowledge, he was trying to clean himself up and get his act together. And so, yeah, I hope for his sake that, you know, that things come together for him. You know, when I say this, the sad thing is that so often, Eddie Guerrero had beat the dealer,
right,
so to speak, and then, you know, had to lose his life. Chris Candido the same way.
Yes.
You know, and it's just, you know, it's almost like, I don't know what, you know, I'm not mystical and I'm certainly not a soothsayer, but it's almost like punishment after the fact, you know.
Right.
Well, you proved to us you could do better, so now it's going to cost you.
Right.
You know, and that's a shame. So, yeah, I hope Lex comes out of this, being able to get back to a normal type life.
Absolutely. Scott Hall was telling people at the Insane Clown Posse show on December 21st in Michigan that he blamed himself for screwing up the last few weeks by no-showing both TNA and WWC shows. As previously reported, Hall was in Puerto Rico, was scheduled, but he didn't want to drop the WWC Universal title to Biggie Size and requested that the match be changed to a non-title bout. The promoter had told him under no circumstances was he going to walk out with that title tonight. So Scott Hall went back to his hotel and never returned. Kind of a...
I don't know Scott well. I've never had any problems with Scott. You know, in fact, what little contact we've had has been, you know, social and positive, you know. But that's, for any performer, that's a bad deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's a business, and you do business. And to have dropped that, I mean, and he's not, you know, if you're a full-time worker in a particular territory and you think you're being used wrongly, then I say, you know, stand up and say so. But if you're a guy that's just being brought in occasionally and you've been given, it's almost like when you get that, if you're given that title, you can almost be sure that you're not going to keep it a long time because you're not a steady, you know, you're not a steady guy on the roster.
Right.
So anyway, you know, it would have been just as simple to, you know, to get to do business and be able to go back and be paid, get another payday there, or two or three or four or 104 more, you know.
Right. That's
so,
just
a, you know,
that's kind of thing
but
that
I would, you know, possibly his, you know, the money he made in WCW with the contractual things that he and Kevin had there.
Maybe he don't need it.
You're right. And, you know, if some of that money was invested properly, you're absolutely right. He doesn't need it. So, and more power to him if he doesn't, man. You know,
it's,
I mean,
it's
I'm
still not
I'm,
good for your reputation.
I wish I, you know, I'd love to say I was in the same situation, but I'm not. So,
Low Key made his surprise return to Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in what was the first show of his post TNA career by defeating American Dragon Bryan Danielson at the Van Nuys Armory. In the first match of the first night of WPG's All-Star Weekend to win the World Heavyweight Championship, the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World Heavyweight Championship. According to witnesses and the CZWFans.com board, the match went about 20 minutes and was mostly mat work and MMA-inspired stuff. So Low-Key, in his first post-TNA match, becomes the PWG champion.
It's a work, Doc. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I understand this.
Okay.
PWG is
I'm picking on you.
It's one of the hugest indie federations in the California, on the West Coast, actually.
Yeah, I know who it is.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, he's, well, you know, he's, I guess he, you know, he was unhappy with his situation. At, you know, and again, let me, you know, something we didn't talk about with Adam, and you and I haven't talked about either with TNA. With, they're geared up and they're putting more people out there, but, you know, the schedule that supposedly was easy before maybe not won't be as easy again.
Right.
You know, and which, and depending on how much you're being paid may, you know, may create a problem for them it down the line, too. I don't know.
That's true.
Yeah, Loki's, is, you know, there again, my what little I've talked to the young man, he's, you know, he's you know, I have no problems personally, but I guess, you know, some say he's difficult to deal with, but I, you know, he was unhappy where he was at. So if he's, you know, if he's happy and doing what he wants to do, I'm up with that, man.
Absolutely. Hollywood actor Mickey Rourke, who replaced Nicolas Cage in the leading role for the upcoming movie The Wrestler, made an appearance during the weekend WXW event in Allentown, Pennsylvania, which is headed by WWE Hall of Famer Afa Anawahi. The former WWF tag team title holder was chosen to be the trainer for Rourke and is in charge of getting him prepared for his role for the movie.
That's I'd be interested because, you know, I've seen Mickey Rourke in movies. He did a boxer a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't imagine at his age and what kind of shape he's in him. I mean, even playing an older wrestler, I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see.
I think if anybody could pull it off, Mickey Rourke can pull that off.
Okay.
How out of shape he is, I think he can pull it off.
This means that next to Christy Hemme, Doc likes Mickey Rourke.
He's great on the screen.
Well, you know, yeah, he's a good actor, but again, I don't know. I just once I see the storyline and the time frame and how he, you know, how he portrays it, the part and everything, I think I'll be more to make a judgment then, but I don't know. If I had to pick an aging wrestler, I don't know that Mickey Rourke would have been my call, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway,
here's a news story that makes me sick that happened over the holiday, and I do want to talk about this a little bit, but Hustler is going to release a pictorial of Nancy Benoit in their next issue. Have you heard this?
I have heard that, yes. And you know, now, let me say this. I have known Nancy since she first started being the Fallen Angel with Kevin Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, I've known Nancy. Now, I know that her husband, when she got into wrestling, the guy she had been married to, pushed her to try to do modeling or whatever due to her looks and her figure. So there probably are, you know, she probably have done nudes probably 100 years ago. That would have been something horrible. Now WWE pushes somebody every year to pee in Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's, you know, with A, being Hustler, B, some jackass has utilized their deaths to sell Hustler something, and that kind of upsets me, yes.
Yeah.
It's you know, but it doesn't change how I feel about Nancy or how I've ever felt about Nancy because she was, again, you know, a good person and my dear friend. So,
right. And I guess what the story about this is how these came about was that Nancy was married to her first husband at the time. I believe his name was Jim Doss.
Doss,
it was Jim.
Yes. Yeah, I never met the guy, but yeah, Doss was the name I first met her, yes.
She was married to him, and she had done a shoot, you know, nude pictures and things like that. The guy who was the photographer filmed this video shoot. Now, she didn't like the pictures, the way the pictures came out. She didn't want to utilize the pictures. She had the pictures destroyed. But the cameraman kept this video that he took of the shoot. And this is what's going to end up in the Hustler magazine.
Oh, is that the deal?
Yes, this is how that came about.
Okay.
So,
of course, but whoever has access to is getting paid for it. That's the point.
Oh, yeah.
And to use, and here's the other thing. If they hadn't been for this tragic death, would have been nothing to sell.
Right.
You know, because she had left public life, and so few people would have, you know, especially of the younger generation, would have had a clue who she was.
Yeah.
You know, except she would have been Chris's wife, you know.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, it's whatever.
It's pretty nasty and it's pretty sleazy. And
yes.
I'm not reading Hustler anymore.
Well, I've never read Hustler, so it wouldn't. It's not going to change anything for me.
Actually, I did, but I was 14, and we're not going to talk about that story on the air.
They did a, and I shouldn't say that. I had one copy of Hustler. This was back, Lord knows how many years ago. They had done a story on Bruno.
Really?
Yeah, or something. I don't remember why, but I remember looking at that copy, and I thought, Jesus, I've been a longtime subscriber to Playboy, and this is just tacky.
Yeah.
I went now real quickly though. I will tell you that one of the first clubs owned by Larry Flynt. I was here in Cincinnati, and I've been to that club. Although it was not a porn club.
No.
It was in downtown Cincinnati. I mean, they had the cocktail waitresses dressed provocatively, sexy, whatever. They had go-go dancers, but it wasn't it wasn't anything vile or vulgar.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Was it Club 51 like? Like, was there a guy at the door saying who can get in and who can't?
No, not that I recall.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
That's interesting. Moving on. Hector.
Okay.
Hector Moody Jack Melendez on his MySpace page announced that he had left WWC. He thanked LaRavia members for their support during his WWC run. He said that he was sad things ended the way they did, but he was under a situation. He thought it was better to step aside. So that was what he did. He said some minds must be modified. There are some that needed to be modified, but not as much as he tried to change it. It did not change. He said that the fight could not be worked that way. He thanked all, desired success to all. And I think he's going to IWA now in Puerto Rico. And there's this big, huge feud going on. I don't know if you know about this, between WWC and IWA, where lawsuits are ready to be flied.
You know what? They went through this a couple years ago.
Yeah, they're back at it.
Okay. Well, whatever.
And I guess he. And if people don't know who Moody Jack is, he was a former TNA referee.
Well, he was. He did the Spanish language desk, if you recall, when. Conan would talk to him occasionally. You would have seen
mm-hmm.
him on camera,
right?
When he was, when he was with TNA. IWA and Carlos
Colon.
Yeah, their companies have been doing battle for back and forth for years. So
it's almost like the whole Japan thing. All Japan and New Japan.
Oh,
that was battle of the 90s.
It's competition, but.
Yeah.
But I guess it's far more noticeable there on the island because it's the square mileage of that island is not huge,
right.
And so there's not a lot. But both those companies drew big numbers on television there at one time. Now, I don't know what their numbers are currently, but at one time they were drawing huge numbers. I mean, when I say huge, double digits, for ratings. So anyway. But it's not uncommon for the talent to swap sides back and forth. It's been going on for a long time.
In movie news, The Rock's most successful movie since The Scorpion King, The Game Plan, is going to be hitting stores on DVD and Blu-ray on January 22nd.
What is Blu-ray?
Blu-ray is a new disc technology which is supposed to look better than DVD, but I think it's just an excuse to charge more.
I think so, too, but whatever.
But they do have Blu-ray disc players and PlayStation 3.
You can't play a Blu-ray on a DVD player?
Nope.
See? Well, then I'll never own a Blu-ray.
Exactly.
Because I'm tired of buying. I'm looking across the room and looking at all this stupid equipment I got now that very seldom gets used.
I bet you have a laser disc player somewhere.
No, I don't think so.
No?
Not that I'm aware of, anyway.
See, that's what I'm always afraid of when new technology comes out, is it's going to go the way of the laser disc and the 8-track and things like that, and I'm going to be stuck. I got one of those mini disc players when they were fresh and hot, and...
I've got a cassette player in my car, and I really like because you know, because I can do more with cassettes than I can with CDs.
Yeah, everybody's trying to bring it up to another level, you know, and come up with something new and different. It doesn't necessarily mean it's better, though.
No, well, it's like, you know, everything going in HD, and you won't be able to use a regular television without a converter, and it's just, why?
Right.
I don't understand that. But anyway, move along.
The game plan is going to be out in two formats, widescreen and full screen, along with a high definition version, which is going to be the one that Les is going to pick up.
Yeah, sure.
The movie did a total of $88 million. And it's a domestic.
I'm not
going
to pick up
record.
Any of those because I don't need to, because we went to the theater and saw the movie.
Was it good? I haven't seen the game plan yet.
Huh?
I haven't seen it yet. Was it good?
Yeah. It was entertaining and you know, fun. It's no Academy Award winner, but it was cool.
My favorite is still going to be, and I think it's always going to be Cool.
Yeah, that was, well, you know what, if you didn't read the book, yes. If you read the book, then the movie, not necessarily, the movie didn't have the detail that the book had.
Yeah.
That was my problem. What was the one where he went to, Johnny Knoxville was his sidekick, they went to South America.
Standing Tall, I believe.
No, you're talking about Walking Tall.
Oh, Walking Tall.
For Christ's sake, no, and that was not as good as the original Walking Tall.
No, but that was Johnny Knoxville, wasn't it?
What was the one where he was went to bring the guy's son back?
Oh, the Rundown.
Yeah, to me that was his best movie.
That was a good one.
Yeah, I thought that was, that was, anyway, whatever.
guys, don't forget, as we announced earlier on the show tonight, the forums are ready at WrestlingWeekly.com. Click on the forum links. We got really cool options. You can earn WW coins. We've also got, of course, we're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game with all of you guys on the forums.
That's what Doc's been paying me in all these years, folks, and...
I've been paying you.
That's why I'm in bankruptcy. But anyway.
They can buy certain things.
While we're talking about this program, why don't you mention what's coming up? Is it Tito Santana next week?
Tito Santana is going to be on the show
next
week.
Yeah, I haven't seen Tito or talked to him in I don't know how long. But
it will be Tito's first appearance on the show, and it'll be the first time I ever, well, second time because I had to talk to him to book him, but it'd be the first time I've ever had an interview with him. But so it's going to be really cool because I grew up watching Tito on TV, and I have much respect for the man.
Okay.
So that's going to be cool.
And
we've got Ring of Honor star Jimmy Jacobs. He's going to come on the program.
We've got Doc Young star Jimmy Jacobs.
He's the man. What can I say?
I know.
Ring of Honor fans love Jimmy Jacobs.
I didn't. No, I'm not saying I don't like him, but I just know you have. Well, I won't say you're. Never mind.
We don't go out and pick up chicks together or anything, but I'm a big fan of his work. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got Tammy Sitch on the end of the month.
Tammy Sitch is going to be on the show on December
21st. Or Sunny, or Tammy Fitch, or whatever you want to call her.
She is going to. This is going to be her first appearance on Wrestling Weekly.
Yeah. It's been a couple years since I've seen her, actually, but I was there when she began her career in Smoky Mountain, so, yeah, kind of looking forward to
it. Yeah, it was a good group then. And lastly, before we take the break, and we're going to get Scott on in a couple minutes, there's happy birthdays to go out today. Rey Mysterio Sr. today is 50 years old. It's Bull Nakano's birthday. She's only 40. I always thought she was a little bit older than that. Peggy Lee Leather is having a birthday today, and Chris Masters, who was on the show just a few weeks ago. He's only 25, which I knew that, but it's still, every time I hear that, I'm like, wow, this guy is 25 years old, and he's already been up and down, you know, all the way to the top at, I think, 23 when he debuted in WWE.
Well. You know, as the Christofferson song says, is the going up worth the coming down?
I don't know, but it's looking pretty good for him to be in TNA. So we'll have to see what happens with that.
He's in TNA?
It's looking good that he will be in TNA.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the rumors going around.
Whatever.
So it could happen anytime. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, we have our featured guest coming up, Scott Norton, who is a really good guest.
Who's Scott Norton?
He's got good stories. I love Scott's NWO stories. I could listen to them all day. We're going to get into some of those and some other stuff about his career. So get your questions ready. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back after this. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly. We're back, and it's 2008.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly Radio. We suck just a little bit less than everybody else.
You are absolutely right. You do suck.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
All aboard!
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven.
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
He's been known to walk the walk. That's right, get out your pimpin' canes, your birth control pills, because it is time for the WR show on wrestling-radio.com. He talks the talk. If you're a girl between the ages of 19 and 25 and you think you've lost your virginity, here's a bit of advice. Maybe you should go look for it. Stating the facts like they are and calling it like he sees it. These are my 15 minutes of fame. Get out of the spotlight and watch true greatness shine on wrestling-radio.com. Join the legend Jonathan Clark as he takes your phone calls, runs down the latest professional wrestling news, reads your emails, and joins you in the forums and reviews your feedback on one of the most controversial wrestling radio programs of all time, the WR Show. Heard every single Wednesday night from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern on the Internet's fastest-growing Internet radio promotional website, wrestling-radio.com. Who knows what Jonathan Clark will say and do and just how far he will go. He's in charge of all the action every single Wednesday night on the WR Show. Make sure you join wrestling-radio.com for one of the most groundbreaking and revolutionized websites and shows in the internet today. Wrestling-radio.com presents the WR Show every Wednesday from 8 until 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you join us.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy, because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
MadManiacs.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you on Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest for tonight. He is, of course, one of the most respected and revered gaijins in Japan, and also, of course, a former member of the NWO. Scott Norton is on the program. Scott, I want to thank you for being on.
You bet, man. I'm always looking forward to it.
This is Scott's third appearance on Wrestling Weekly so far.
Scott, you might, for those who don't know what gaijins is, you might explain it to them, because they might think you're talking about blue jeans and just
that's what they call us in Japan. I mean, it's always the gaijin locker room, the gaijin bus, the gaijins are doing that. That's foreigner in Japanese, so that's the gaijin deal.
So how was your holiday, Scott? I know you were in Japan over the Christmas break.
First time I ever worked Christmas and New Year's Eve, and I worked in Japan, and I had a good time. We had a real nice dinner with Bob Sapp on Christmas Day, and ate a 2-kilo steak. Prime rib was crazy.
Wow. Now, I don't really know too much about geography. What's the weather like over there in the middle of December?
Well, it's about the same as it is, I would say, you know, in the Atlanta area. It's not too cold. You know, as far as up north you go, it's just like the states here.
Mm-hmm.
Farther north you go, it starts snowing. And you get up towards, you know, Sapporo, it's like Siberia. I mean, there's 10 feet of snow up there, so. And then farther south you go, it gets, you know, it's hot as heck. So,
you
know, Tokyo's not too far north. So, you know, it gets chilly, but it's not, it's pretty bearable.
So there's no, like, outdoor festivals or anything like that, like, for Christmas, New Year's Eve, that kind of
thing? No. But if you get up into Sapporo, they got the ice festivals, which is pretty cool. It's, they carve all these gigantic sculptures out of ice. They make, you know, restaurants. It's nuts. But, it, you know, no, there's not a whole lot going on. Everything's decorated, but there's no snow, and they don't celebrate Christmas. But everything, it's like you're at a place that would.
Have you tried the sake out there?
Oh. That's disgusting.
Is it gross?
I don't know what anybody. The sake tastes like, you know.
Feet.
Yeah, it's like you pour something in somebody's old shoe and drink it.
How strong is it? I mean,
it's just
many beers would one shot of sake equal?
Oh, well, I couldn't tell you because I've never had more than one shot of sake.
Ah.
I really don't like it. But I tell you what, they do. I mean, you see them, you know, they'll be having lunch and they'll be eating and they drink it warm, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's disgusting. You know, I used to get these bottles of sake, they were red. Mm-hmm. And they weren't bad. But they give it to you and you're not supposed to drink it. You're supposed to keep it for good health. And we're drinking them. I go, why you drink these? I go, well, you gave it to us, you know, because it did taste, that tasted kind of good, you know, if you got a party with some friends going on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't supposed to drink it, so I don't know. So, but the regular sake is horrible.
With the economy the way it is now, Scott, what in American dollars would an average meal at a restaurant cost you over there?
That could vary. I mean, if you go to McDonald's, you get a Big Mac. Here, it's a couple bucks, right?
Yeah.
There, it's five.
Five.
So about double then, right?
Yeah. I mean, we could sit down and go, like breakfast at the Keel Plaza, which is a pretty nice hotel, $30. And then, you can go, you get a per diem, $100 a day at least, and you're going to spend it.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be gone.
So you're working with Hustle right now. Tell us what's going on over there.
Well, it's awesome. I mean, they're blowing it up. We're selling out every show. So, we just do two pay-per-views a month, and we don't do any house shows. So we're not, running all over the country. And the promotion is small, but, I mean, the way they work at it, the way they're going about it, we're selling out everything. We did 20,000 at Hustle Mania. We had 21 or 22,000 on the last big show there, and I mean we're out drawing everybody, so it's going good. And the thing what they're doing is they're trying to entertain more. It's not just a pure wrestling hardcore style like it is in New Japan and other companies over there. They're far more entertaining. I mean, I don't know if you know Dakota's Army. The monster group that we're all part of. I'm part of it. Sap's part of it. Aki Bono. We got about 10, 12 guys. It's sort of like their group of the NWO.
Mm-hmm.
And General Takata, I mean, this guy will talk for 20, 30 minutes after the show is over, and not one person will leave.
Wow.
And I have been there for probably, I'm getting close to 20 shows, I guess. I don't know one thing he said, but I'll tell you what, it's the most, these people are going crazy.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've never seen anybody leave.
It's something different out in Japan, too, because I guess most of it is mat-based and technical wrestling out in Japan.
Is Hustle connected to one of the MMA groups over there?
Well, they used to own Pride.
Okay.
They parted ways with that. And I think they're getting back into it, though. I'm not sure. But right now they're concentrating on what we're doing, and man, they're doing a great job. I mean, I've never seen more effort put into two shows every time I'm there. I mean, it's so well run. It's awesome.
Are you doing any dates in the States while you're here stateside? It's just totally Japan now?
Yep.
Excellent.
I'm glad for it, because that's where I belong. That's where, the best part of my, not the best part of my career, but that's what everything's been dialed towards. And, I'm doing well enough where, I just got to work a couple times a month, and it's awesome. So, and you don't want to beat yourself down too bad. I will, work here in the States, but it's got to be right.
Right. Now, you were at this the big San Francisco convention.
Oh,
what was the name of this convention?
I don't know. it was at the Cow Palace.
At the Cow Palace.
It was like a big wrestle fest or
something like that. Yeah.
It was the biggest joke I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, but basically, yeah, it was the huge disaster. Oh, what happened over there?
Well, this guy pretty much hired every talent that wasn't on a contract with WWE and told him he's paying big money, come on out, and they got the biggest fest going on, autographs, memorabilia, you know, they're going to have two nights of matches, they're going to have two days of mixed martial arts fights, they had it all going on.
Okay.
And it was just a gigantic disaster. This Chris Salisbury guy.
Is that his real name?
That wasn't his real name.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, I have never seen a guy have more people mad at him in my entire life than him.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, he didn't pay anybody.
Right.
I luckily got paid, but it was a mess.
How did you end up getting paid?
Well, you know, I went to his room and got paid. And then he asked me, he says, what should I do? You know, because I can't pay. He showed me a computer, and he had two checking accounts with about 300 grand in each one. And he says, you think if I write these guys a check, it'll be okay? And I says, no. He says, what do you think I should do? I says, why, you? I mean, I'd either stay in his room or jump out that window. You know, and, you know, he was telling me stories that were just unbelievable. He pulls his shirt up, but he's got a scar on his stomach. He said he was a cop, and he got shot, and he almost bled to death. He was going to be an FBI agent undercover, and it was an appendix scar. And when he did that, I went, oh, my God, how dumb do you think I am? You know? And
did you say kayfabe?
I said, cried out loud. I said, I got one of those, too. But, I mean, I've never seen anybody have more people wanting to put bodily harm on him. I'm talking.
Yeah.
There was 150, 200 guys at that hotel.
Oh, my God.
And I mean, every last one of them wanted a piece of him.
Did the hotel get paid?
I don't think so.
Were you nearby or around the Don Fry fiasco?
I was right in the middle of it.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
What happened with that whole thing?
Well, that little, what's his name, Leland?
Leland Chaplin.
Yeah. Well, his bodyguard and Don didn't much get along, right? So one time.
Did they know each other already?
Well, Don has a way of meeting people, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And the guy popped on, and I guess he caught him pretty good. And, you know, he went down, and they got into it, and then everybody broke it up. And Don went back to the guy and says, hey, let's put this on TV. Let's do this. You know, make some money with it, you know. Everybody's partying and everything. Guy hit him again. And sucker punched him. He sucker punched him the first time, too.
Right.
And then the third time, they're about four or five blocks away, or a block and a half, two blocks away. We're all running down the street trying to save the cops. And that's when he got a hold of the guy and just tore him up. But there was stuff like that going on all weekend.
Was it just a drunken argument? Or?
Yeah, it was just, you know.
Who's badder?
You know, well, no, it's that little bounty hunter guy, you know, thinking, you know, little King Kong there, you know, and he's got, I mean, what's he doing running around with bodyguards, you know? I mean,
right.
And it was just a mess.
Was he, Chapman, was he supposed to have fought in the MMA, or was...
Yeah, he was supposed to be part of the show.
Uh-huh.
And then when they, I guess none of them could get licensed. They didn't even get that far. So all that got canceled. And then, you know, they had this, you know, the Cow Palace is enormous, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
they got all these displays set up, and they got, there were more people working there and more wrestlers than fans.
That's not
it was,
good.
It was like being in a morgue. It was, I mean, it was horrible. I talked to Virgil one time, and Virgil, he said, you know, I'm really hustling hard, I'm working hard, trying to get this, you know, break even this weekend because I know I ain't getting paid. And, I mean, he said he signed like 15, 20 autographs, so. And we're expecting, you know,
oh my God.
He was talking 100,000 people going through the doors that weekend. I was really expecting a huge deal. It was great because I had to see a lot of guys that I've been able to see for a long time.
Right.
You know, I haven't seen Steve since he got sick and everything. Steve Williams, and he was there. It was great seeing Steve. We, you know, I just got to see a ton of guys from Minnesota. Everybody. And, then, you know, everybody's there. You know, and nobody got paid.
Did you cut out early, like after you got your money?
No.
Oh, you stayed the rest of the time.
I just stayed. You see, because they kept handing off the authority to the next guy. He says, okay, forget him, I'll take care of it.
Right.
Well, he was a liar, too. Then that guy got shoved out of the way. And this other guy come in. You know, I'll take care of it. It was just, it was nonsense. It was just,
Now you've been to a lot of conventions in your time. Is this the worst?
Yeah, no question. It was the worst thing I've ever been involved in professional wrestling.
Wow.
The thing about it is, there were people there that did spend, you know, $200 a ticket, and they're supposed to get, you know, all these different pictures, all this different, you know, they're supposed to be able to go see Goldberg, they're supposed to be able to go see Steve Austin, they're supposed to go see Roddy Piper, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're supposed to be able to come through all these different displays and everything. Well, none of that came, you know, true, because there was, as the show went on, less employees were there. It's like we just showed up and we were running the show when we were there, you know.
Oh, my God.
And then we find out the limo driver was the guy's dad. He owned the limo company and was driving everybody back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And every time I was in that limo, I probably heard, you know, I was in there, it was a huge limo. I was probably in there with 20 different guys. They're all saying, I'm going to kill that son of a bitch. I don't, you know. And the guy is this kid. And we're all sitting there talking about, God, I've never been around such a liar in my life, you know. And then we find out the guy's, you know, so, I mean, it was just a
and he a had kid. No reaction in the limo?
Oh, no. He just, you know, he was actually a real decent guy and everything, but. You know, he couldn't have been too doggone good.
Couldn't have been very proud at that moment.
Right. There's a lot of lawsuits come out of this thing, Scott.
Yeah, there are. Yeah, I'm not involved in it, but it was it's pretty bad.
And they're still looking for this guy, right?
Yeah, last I heard that he went to Vegas, and there this one gentleman was adamant he was going to put him behind bars. I mean, he called the police every night. They were doing police reports, and they were doing bounce checks, and they were just doing one thing after another. And all the checks he wrote, of course, they, you know, I mean, this guy is going to get him.
Right. Wow.
So, yeah, it was bad.
Well, hopefully nothing like that
will ever
happen again.
I hope so, you know, because the one before that, the one up in Indiana, I was supposed to be there. I wasn't even there. I was never advertised. The guy called me like 6, 8, 10 months before that and asked me if I was available. And I told him I'd get back to him if I was. And I never talked to him. Then all of a sudden I find out that all this advertising on that one. I guess that was a big mess also.
Yeah, that was a mini disaster, I guess.
They had him locked up in his office or something, I heard.
A lot of people didn't talk about that one that much, but it was, just run just as bad. Unless, if you remember, they had, the Indiana one had their first reunion the same night I did my show in Southern Indiana, which you were at, in the north.
But that one was successful, right?
Right.
That one was successful, yes. And they started planning this second one that happened in October, maybe a month later. Like, in December, they were ready for it. And they had started planning it. And that's probably when they talked to you, Scott.
Right.
But when that time came along and those wrestlers showed up, there was no money. There was people around.
You know, I'll never leave my house again without being paid.
Right.
I mean, it just, you know, I'm not going to set myself up for failure. And it just, you know, and it was just, I mean, so many, you know, it's disappointing when you're, you know, because we're such a great talent, seeing all the guys and everything. And then everybody just, you know, as the weekend went on, I mean.
It makes it look
this
bad.
This guy was, I mean, he was scared. He was, I mean, there were some, you know, some rough guys that were ready to just tear him apart.
Right.
I don't even know how the heck he got out of there. You know, at one point in time, his wife was going to get $50,000 or $20,000 or something, come back and pay the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this guy held up down in the lobby. They weren't letting him go.
They had him cornered.
Here she comes, you know. She had no money.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he talked to her probably 10 different times on the phone. And
from his bunker.
Do you think this guy was just crazy enough,
yeah,
Scott, that he thought there would actually be a crowd that would warrant a walk up that would warrant him being getting enough money to actually pay everybody?
I don't know. I don't know how he swung it, because I know there's a guy with these energy drinks out east. I don't want to say names, you know, that poured a lot of money into it. He was
ticked.
He was furious. And I mean, you know, there were sponsors that were very upset with this guy, you know, because nothing, you know, was not even close to what was, you know, everything that he, I mean, the guy was a hell of a salesman on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you walked in the room and you look around and you go, well, you know, he'd be the last guy you'd think that was doing this. I mean, he was such a
charming
non-business individual. It was unbelievable. And he took a lot of people for rides, I tell you. And,
wow.
It was too bad, because I was really looking forward to it. You know, because all the hype up to it, you know, and everybody's, I mean, everybody I talked to, you know. I mean, DDP was there. I mean, there was a lot of guys there. The Steiner Brothers, the Nasty Boys.
I think all that would have ruined, like, a really good reunion for you guys, you know.
Oh, you know, the thing about this, you know, that he was talking every year, and he's going to do one every 6 months, and this guy could sell ice to an Eskimo.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. But once you know, he just he got caught. You know what I mean? It was like trying to do WrestleMania with no
money
in the bank.
Yeah,
you don't know. Just, you know, doing the walk up.
That's crazy. I want to get to some questions from the chat room. MOAB, he asks. Well, he says, people often criticize wrestling for lack of psychology. Is this a good criticism? I certainly do think that the psychology is different due to the Japanese fans, one, being educated to a different product, and two, being less emotional in general.
Well, that used to be the fact as far as the fans being less emotional, but now they've changed. When I first started there, you'd go there, and, I mean, you actually thought you were doing something wrong in the ring. Because, I mean, they were just sitting there, and I'm going, God, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, they would tell us, don't worry about them. Well, now, as things have gotten more built up, they're more into it. I mean, they're like regular fans in America. I mean, they go crazy now. They're into it. And psychology over there isn't as important as it's here, because there's more of a high spot territory. You know, they want to see the big kabang. You know, they want to. It's not as a long drawn out storyline as it is here. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Ric Flair goes over to Japan, and his style is perfect everywhere he goes. But it's not. It's much easier for him there than it is here.
Right.
If you understand what I'm trying to say. I mean, you know, I mean, he has great psychology, knows that everything that's going on in the ring. It's very simple for him over there, because, you know, he doesn't have to really, it's not as challenging. It's more challenging How's that sound?
That's good. Choose Death says, hey, Doc, can you ask Norton about working with Shinya Hashimoto in New Japan?
Wow. I did a show for Hashimoto about 6 months ago, and on my desk just about a half hour ago, I ran across the paperwork on it, and there was a picture of Hashimoto, and God, it just, you know, you can't believe it's gone, and working with him was awesome, because, you know, Hashimoto was just a big guy that did a, he was a rough kid, you know, strong kid, and he, you know, he would back down from anybody, and his style, you know, it was just, he wasn't, you know, like Muda, he wasn't like, you know, Kinski, these guys that, you know, good looks, and, you know, he was just a big guy.
Yeah.
But he was over like $1 million. I mean, they started that Hashimomo, and I mean, that place was going nuts. It was, you know, he really worked hard to get to where he got, and I mean, he was over big.
Double T says, does Scott have an old school wrestler that he modeled himself after?
I remember when I first started, I went to Kurt Hennin's dad and the Axe and asked if he, you know, come and help me out. And, you know, he went right down to Brad Reagan's camp next day, and he got in the ring with me. And, you know, I always thought he was a real strong big man that worked, you know, and I kind of tried to kind of follow him a little bit because, you know, he was a big, strong, thick son of a gun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, Kurt Hennin's dad was, you know, the Axe was, he was a hell of a guy. So that would be him, yeah.
Larry the Axe. Liger Mark says, what does Scott think about Buff Bagwell as a worker and as a tag team partner?
Marcus was a great tag team partner. He was an outstanding partner. I mean, as far as in the ring, he would have a problem with him. I mean, you know, as a matter of fact, he was trying to get him out of the ring for crying out loud. I mean, talking about a guy who wanted to hog up TV time, brother. And, you know, as a worker, I mean, you know, at house shows, he is one entertaining son of a gun. I mean, there's no question about it. Yeah, he's definitely a good one.
Hey, do you watch TNA at all lately?
When I'm home, I just, you know, kind of separate myself from it. So, no, because you know, I just concentrate when I'm working over there, when I'm doing my thing. And then, I haven't been really watching any of it. Is it good? I heard.
Less. Now, TNA hasn't been really, it hasn't really been good lately. Not this last year, I think.
Yeah.
It's kind of been going downhill as far as,
The angles, Scott, and the storylines don't, they don't jive. They don't make a lot of sense.
Right.
These things hanging and.
You know, I know Samoa Joe was on fire there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought some dude in there and kind of put the end to that. It was sort of like, you know, they're like a small WCW in my eyes. You know, I remember when we did the whole company did everything they could do to get the Giant going. With Paul White, remember?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I mean, everybody worked with that guy. Everybody had put all their effort to get him over. Then here comes Goldberg. Same thing. Everybody worked so hard to get Bill over.
Yeah.
They could have two of them, right? They
right.
could have the Giant and Goldberg in the same place. 6 weeks later, here's Goldberg chasing the Giant out of the ring, and he's running from him. Then soon after that, you know, Paul went to WWE.
Right.
Same thing happened with TNA. It's either one guy, and that's it.
You're right.
You know, nobody wants to put anybody above them. You know, everybody's worried about themselves, and it just doesn't work.
You know, I think the younger guys don't understand too, Scott, is that, you know, if we all work to get you over, then we all make money.
Absolutely.
And if we all drag in our feet, because we're concerned with our own egos and stuff, then none of us are going to make any damn money.
No, if I walked in a room and there's 20 guys in there and the Giants over in one corner and Goldberg's over in the other corner, I look around, I'm going, well, I'm going to make money with that guy. I'm going to make money with that guy over there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't the bosses and the people that are running the show understand these things? You know, they look, you know, they want to keep one guy happy, and what they do is they lie to everybody else. Everybody gets pissed off, and then it just starts going down the tubes.
Right.
It's just a sad story. See, in Japan, it's not like that. We do a show, and it's for the show. I mean, it really is. I mean, everybody comes together and works just for the show. If you don't, you're not going to be there. It's just the way it is. And it's a whole different story.
Absolutely, that's
true. They got a little bit better values as far as business.
Right. One more last question before we get out of here. They're asking what the origin of the Flash name was.
Well, that came from my arm wrestling days. You know, when I was like over a period of time, about 5 years, nobody stopped me.
Mm-hmm.
They said go, and it was over. Boom.
Flash.
That's where Flash came from.
Excellent. Scott, we're running out of time, but I want to thank you for being on. It's great to catch up with you, man.
Oh, always. I love doing the show with you guys, top of the line guys. You tell it like it is, and I've always enjoyed this.
I appreciate that.
Scott, it's always a pleasure, and let's hope San Francisco doesn't happen again.
It won't.
Better not.
All right, guys.
Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year to you guys, and thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Scott Norton here on WrestlingWeekly.com. It's going to wrap things up. Guys, we've got Tito Santana coming on the show next week, and we are going to lead off the show with the Tito Santana interview. So don't be late next week, or you won't get to ask a question for Tito. That's all I have to say, Lutz.
Well, that's enough, and I'll see you now. I'm headed to Natchez, Mississippi for the weekend, and I hope some of you guys will join us, and we'll see you next Tuesday night.
All right. Have a good one, guys.